So this week, I'm very happy to welcome Guanyu Zhu to give the Quantum Info seminar. So he did his PhD at Northwestern University, then did a postdoc at JQI in Maryland, and is now at IBM. So please take it away.
All right, thanks, Michael, for the introduction. So today I'm going to talk about topological order, quantum codes, and quantum computation on fractal geometries. And this work, the preprint can be found here. And this work was done in collaboration with Thomas Joshua O'Connor, who is also a research staff member at IBM, and Api Dua, who was a summer intern at IBM last summer, and currently a postdoc at Caltech. So let me begin with my talk some famous quotes. So one is by Rolf Landauer, who spent most of his career at IBM. So here you can see the background. It's actually the TJ was a research center. So if you've been there, you can recognize it. So he famously said, "Information is physical." And he also inspired by this philosophy, he was doing work on reversible versus irreversible classical computation and the heat generated by the gates and classical computer, and also collaborated with Charlie Bennett. So another quote was "It from Bit" by John Wheeler, which is also very famous. So these two quotes are a bit kind of in the two extreme sides, but both of them kind of find some connection between information and matter. And in our modern view, that we now know that there are some deep connection between quantum information and quantum matter. So that's sort of related to the theme in this talk as well. And so the motivation of this talk is we try to understand the topological order and the topological codes, which has so-called long-range entanglement on a fractal geometry, which is beyond the usual cases, most of the cases studied, which are on a manifold or a cellulation of manifold. So some examples of fractals. So here's a Sierpinski carpet embedded in a 2D space, and it has a fractal or Hausdorff dimension equals 1.893. So and then this is Munger sponge embedded in 3D, and it has a fractal dimension 2.727. It has been realized that a classical self-correcting memory can be realized on an Ising model defined on a Sierpinski carpet embedded in 2D. Actually, one of the authors is Mandelbrot, and he also spent most of his career at IBM and developed fractal geometry. And he even realized the connection to classical memory. And a natural question we ask is, does a fractal quantum memory also exist in nature? So in nature just means whether it's embeddable in 3D such that eventually it could be realizing certain quantum materials. So here we don't require it to be self-correcting, so it can just work at the zero temperature. So another motivation is that a more practical concern for quantum computing context is that we want to reduce the space overhead for quantum computing, especially not just for the quantum memory, but also for the in the context of implementing non-Clifford logical gates with topological stabilizer codes. The reason of this is that there's an underlying trade-off between dimensionality and universality, which is the so-called Bravi-Koenig bond. It states that logical gates implementing by local constant depth circuit, including the transversal gate, in n-dimensional topological stabilizer code has to lie in the nth level of the Clifford hierarchy. So here, the second level is just the usual Clifford gates, and third level has T gates or Toffoli gates. So our idea is essentially a code puncturing idea. So we think that you don't necessarily need all the qubits in this n-dimensional code. You can dig out lots of holes inside, but still be able to prefer these logical gates. So our goal is to reduce the total number of qubits n, which is essentially the volume of these codes, while still preserve the code distance D and also the capability of performing the same logical gates. So in this case, then your scaling, which is supposed to be in the manifold case that scale with the integer dimension of the space, now it becomes a scaling with the Hausdorff dimension, which is usually lower than the space at embedded. So then you can improve the distance scaling, the function of total number of qubits. So in particular, we consider to reduce the space overhead of implementing the logical CCZ gate. So that was already realized in 3D surface codes that it requires L cube space overhead. And our goal is to reduce this 3 by some fractal dimension. So by the way, this work on 3D surface code of logical CCZ gate was first done by Kubiga, Yoshida, and Ostovsky. They figured out a logical CCZ gate, and later Michael and Dan Brown, and they figured out how to do it strictly transversal. So fortunately, the authors of both papers are in the at PI, so it's nice to talk in front of them. So let's begin with the definition of topological order. So now we inspired by one of the codes, it's from Bit. So we try to understand the topological phase of matter from quantum information point of view. And actually you could define topological order just from the quantum information perspective. It's commonly, actually already commonly used in the literature, for example, in this paper. So you can define topological order as a local physical system whose ground state subspace forms a quantum error correcting code with a macroscopic code distance D. So formally you can define it as that there it means there are some code distance D scale with the power law of a system size L. And when L is sufficiently large, you have the following equation. So here PC is the projector onto the ground state subspace or equivalent the code space. And this OA represents some any local operator that's supporting a region A involving fewer than D sites, and C is some complex number. So it just means that this local operator, when sandwiched by this projector, becomes still proportional to the projector. So here is an example of some local operator on a torus that is still has support smaller than a non-contractible cycle, which has the minimal distance, the size of the distance D. So from a more traditional definition, so this quantum information definition is exactly equivalent to the more traditional definition of condensed matter literature. So basically this equation just means this local operator cannot distinguish different ground states or different logical states. So the off-diagonal element has to be exponentially suppressed with system size here, Cassie is the correlation length. And usually in the stabilized code case, the Cassie is just zero. So you only have the first term says that the off-diagonal element is exactly zero. So unless your operator becomes a non-contractible cycle, which has size distance D, then it could couple different logical state and can distinguish it. Then you have a logical error. So this just suggests that there is a topological protected ground state degeneracy, which is also the essence of topological order. Now we want to further show some connection between other fields, especially geometry. So the code distance D here is actually related to the systole in systolical geometry. The systole, the definition is just the shortest non-contractible cycle of a metric space. So this connection first discovered by Friedman, Meyer, Law. And so for example, on a torus, you have a shortest, this one cycle, one dimensional cycle, a loop, and that is just your code distance. So if this code distance happens to be microscopic, means order one, then you won't have topological order. That's kind of an important thing we will use in this talk. Further, there's a few other connections. So we have already emphasized the connection between topological order, quantum error correcting code, and systolical geometry. When you consider the protected degeneracy is just equivalent to a macroscopic distance And in the geometry, it's a macroscopic systole, or more precisely, a macroscope, sometimes a macroscopic relative systole in the relative homology. So that's the most important connection. Besides, there's some other connection which we don't have time to discuss in detail, but they are also important. So things we consider, the fractal is basically you have lots of holes in space. So that's kind of related to large spatial disorder. So you consider whether the topological order is stable against large spatial disorder. And then in the quantum code case, it means whether it's protected against the fabrication errors or whether it's stable when you do code puncturing. So another important connection is the four-torrent logical gates in the quantum airplane code. And turns out to be equivalent to the global and high form symmetries in topological order, and also related to sweep of gapped domain walls, which we'll talk about later. And also, there are some exotic gap boundaries discovered in this case. They give some codes with non-Pauli stabilizers. So that's all the connection we'll be discussing in this talk. So first, let's start with the 2D case. So we can start with the well-known example, which is the 2D surface code. It has two types of boundary, the so-called E boundary and M boundary. So the E boundary is where a boundary that the E anion can condense. So which means the logical Z operator can terminate there. And then the M boundary is where M anion can condense and you have a logical X can condense there. So the condensation, works basically because this anion have a bosonic self-braiding statistics, so it's very similar to a boson condensation on the boundary. On the other hand, you cannot have a boundary type which is EM because the EM has fermionic statistics, so that's impossible. Now we start to make a fractal by iteratively digging some holes in the surface code. So we can make a hole in the center with the ratio that the length is 1/3 of the original size. And in this example, we choose this hole to have the M boundary. So we call it an M hole. And then we can further iterate to give you a Sapir-Whorf copy. So in the infinite iteration, you just get the actual Sapir-Whorf copy. So we call it SC31. The 31 just means the ratio we just mentioned. And then there's a level, which is the level of iteration. So in reality, your iteration will stop at some finite level once your smallest hole size reaches the size of a lattice constant of your model. So then you just stop. So actually, this hole here can encode some information, and it's used to be considered to be useful for quantum information processing. So it's considered as a blessing, but whether it's a blessing or curse in our context, you will see in a moment. So we have this macroscopic logical operator, logical X and logical Z. But once you have a hole, you introduce additional logical operator. You have Z around this hole, M hole, and then you have X operator connecting boundaries. And you can find that this new X operator with smaller size actually cross with your macroscopic logical Z operator. And then when you further iterate, you introduce the number of new logical qubits proportional to the number of holes. Now again, you can find this short string that they could cross with your macroscopic string. And assume that you stop at the level 3 that the hole reached the size of your lattice constant. So that's your final iteration. Then you can find that there's always a short string with order 1 length that cross with your macroscopic Z string. And they anti-commute in the surface code case. So that just means an order one X error could just lead to a logical fault. So your distance is actually microscopic. So in our definition, you know that there's no topological order in this case. In geometry, it means they just have a microscopic relative system. The relative just means there's a cycle connecting boundaries. So this no-go theorem, which is a curse, we finally realized, it also holds when these holes are E holes just by symmetry. Or it can be extended to a more generic fractal. It doesn't have to be a Sabine carpet. And also the boundary doesn't have to have unique type. It could have a mixture of M boundary. Some part is M boundary, some part is E boundary. But in all this case, there won't be any topological order. And it could even be generalized to any other type of a 2D topological order which existed in literature. Because all of this example, they will have string logical operator. And this feature is kind of inevitable. So to avoid this curse, so we can actually try to go to higher dimension. So let me start with a 3D case. And then in 3D, you can have a model from topological quantum field theory, the so-called BF theory, probably also come from the context of quantum gravity at first. So here you have an action, which you have a one-form gauge field and a two-form gauge field, which correspond to the E and M excitation, respectively. And it's also called a Zn gauge theory. So we don't actually really need to use this action much. It's in this talk, it's just a formal connection. So it's more useful in the quantum information context to consider an exact solvable model, which realizes this TQFT. And in the n equals 2 case, you can write down the Z2. So it's a Z2 case. You can have a Z2 3D toric code where you can it's a generalization of 2D toric code. So you have two types of stabilizers. One is the vertex stabilizer that you have an X stabilizer defined on the vertex, and then you have three types of placate stabilizer, Z stabilizer on the placates. You could also generalize this to Zn case by replacing qubit with qubits. So in this type of model, you have two types of excitation. So it's the E particle and the M loop excitations. So you have a so-called Z2 fusion rule. So two E particles has to fuse into the vacuum, and two M string segments has to also fuse into the vacuum. So the first fusion rule just means that you can create a pair of E particles by applying some Wilson line of E anions. And in our exact solvable model, it's just a string of Pauli Z operator. So here is an example on the lattice model. So you can create a pair of them just by applying Z operator on these edges. And similarly, this fusion rule of the string that tells you that you can create a pair of string that out of the vacuum, which is equivalent to a loop through a word sheet of the M excitation. And that gives you a membrane operator of the the Pauli X. So that is just for simplicity, we just call it a brain instead of membrane, we call it X brain. So in the lattice model, you can see you apply this Pauli X on these edges. So that will violate these placates, which is highlighted here. And that's equivalent to create a string excitation, a loop excitation in this model. So that's the basics. So furthermore, we can have some basic TQFT relation to completely define this theory. So there's an isomorphism between the TQFT subspace on manifold M and then the code space. So the fundamental relation we need is, so first you have a word line of E or Z string, you can freely deform it. And then a E closed string, E loop can just equal to the vacuum or logical identity. So these are sort of a homotopy relation, basically just a continuous deformation. That's why the theory is topological. In addition, you also have a recoupling relation of this E word line. So that's essentially a relation for first homology. And for the word sheet of the M excitation of the X spring operator, you can freely deform it as well, and you can a sphere of this M brain is just a vacuum or the logical identity. It's again a homotopical relation. But you also have a recoupling between this M sheet, word sheet. So it's essentially a second homology relation. So we can illustrate all this relation just with the stabilized model. So for example, you can deform the Z string by just multiplying the Z placate stabilize in between. You can shrink a closed Z-string to nothing by multiplying this K stabilizer. You can also recouple this to a string vertical into like a banded string by multiplying a placate stabilizing between. And on the last model, the X brain operator is actually this vertical edge with a Pauli X. Then you can multiply this vertex stabilizer or X stabilizer to deform it, just which is basically this picture. And this picture is essentially equivalent to a topological equivalent to a sphere. So if you are multiplying all this vertex stabilizer, you can just shrink it into nothing. Also, you could recouple two membranes, like the horizontal membrane to a vertical membrane just by multiplying this X stabilizer in between. So this is the fundamental relation which we kind of use. Also, there's fundamental equivalence between this different names like Z2 toric code, essentially a Z2 gauge theory, and mathematically it's equivalent to Z2 homology. That's why you have these relations. So we could apply this TQFT relation to derive some properties we want later. So here's an example. So if you have used the recoupling relation between two M sheets, so you can rotate this shape along the X axis. By 2 pi, then you basically this one become a cylinder and this one become two domes. So you can see you can recouple a cylinder into two domes. Then for any closed X brain or the M worksheet that embedding 3D, you can apply this recoupling relation. Then you can just become a product of spheres. And we know that they themselves are vacuum. So any closed membrane is just a equivalent to vacuum or logical identity. So there's additional information we need is now we need to consider the gap boundaries in 3D. So we have those in 2D. So in 3D, you have two types of boundaries. One type is the boundary where the E anion can condense. You can pull it into the boundary by applying a Z string. So it's particle condensation. But you also have a string condensation that this M string or M loop can also disappear in the so-called M boundary. And then you have some additional fundamental relation, which we use later. So if you have a E string attached on the boundary, it can be shrinking into nothing just because of this condensation property. And if you have a membrane half dome attached on the M boundary, you can also shrink it into nothing. So in the 3D toric code, the logical operator is just, so here we have the E boundary on the top and bottom surface and the M boundary on these four sides. So the Z string can terminate on the E boundary or the rough boundary, and the X membrane can terminate on the smooth boundary. So that's the name of this boundary. And equivalent to the TQFT picture that you just have a string and a membrane terminate on these two types of boundary. So now we want to apply this, we want to study this topological order on the fractals embedded in 3D. So we can generalize the fractal, the Sierpinski copy to this so-called fractal cube geometry. So we can still define the fractal iteratively by digging holes. Now we also digging a cubic holes with length 1/3 in the middle in each iteration. So then you can create this fractal. And in this example, we consider this hole has a boundary with M type. So we just use blue to represent the M boundary. So also this type of fractal is a kind of a special class, which we call it n-dimensional simple fractal. So that's just we define this name. So this is a fractal formed by punching n-dimensional holes, which these holes are homomorphic to n-dimensional balls in n-dimensional manifold. Basically, this cube is equivalent to a three-dimensional ball, and it has a boundary. Its boundary is a two-dimensional sphere. So it's a special type. We call it simple because these holes are simply connected. And then there are two types of holes in this story. So you have this holes with E boundary and holes with M boundary. So if you have this E hole, then actually you could, similar to 2D case, you can trap logical operator. You can have the X ring, which is the opposite, the dual type of the boundary, you wrap it around. And you can have the Z string connecting it because the E particle can condense on the E boundary. So the Z string can terminate. You can trap a single logical cube. This turns out to be a curse, as you will see. But there's an asymmetry. And unlike in the 2D case, there's an asymmetry here. So if you have an M hole, then if you want to put the dual type of logical operator, this Z string or the E word line here, then you can find that you can continuously shrink it into nothing just by, in the exact solvable model case, you can just multiply stabilizers in between. Or you can use the fundamental relation we said before in TQFT. So it can actually cannot trap logical operator. So that's, it turns out to be a blessing in the end. So we can first get a no-go theorem for the case of E-holes. So the no-go theorem that the Z in topological order also doesn't exist if you have a fractal, actually arbitrary fractal embedding 3D with only E holes. So the story is very simple, similar to the 2D case. You can have a X logical membrane, but it will unfortunately always cross with a order one length, a short logical Z string. So actually in the Z n topological order, it has this group commutator like this, but it simply says they don't commute. Then the distance, the Z distance is just order one. And so you have microscopic relative system and no topological order. So another intuitive way to understand this situation is that essentially you can consider that all this E boundary on these holes and that all your external boundary there essentially identified or glued together to a single, for example, a Bose-Einstein condensate, which the E anion condense. So basically, the word line of the E particle can find a shortcut. It can just find a shortcut connecting to a whole boundary, E boundary on these holes. And basically, they are all identified. So it's like a wormhole. So it can just directly travel through the whole system. So it's like a maze, but with this wormhole-like shortcut. So your distance is just all the one. If you choose the hole to be M hole, then the story is completely different. So now the Z string, or the E word line, they cannot condense on these holes. So there's no shortcut. So you have to honestly work along this maze. So your Z distance seem to be macroscopic. But you do have some shortcut for this your extreme. So now you are imagining that there's a snake walking this 3D maze. So it does be it's able to find. So this is the word line of this snake. So this membrane. So when it travels through the maze, then it can find some local shortcut that it can suddenly tunnels to the other end of this hole, certain part of its body, but then there's some other part of the body still has to move gradually through it. So eventually it cannot find an order one shortcut to walk through the maze. So in the end, so the shortest area of this logical X macroscopic logical X operator is essentially a surveillance copied. So you could reduce the word sheet, the area of the word sheet a little bit, but it's just still a surveillance copied instead of an order one case. Okay, so now we can have the theorem that the Zn topological order actually exists on a specific type of fractal, and this simple fractal embedding 3D manifold with only M holes. So it doesn't have to be the fractal cube geometry, but it has to be the simple fractal. So the essence is that there's no microscopic logical operator exist. So as we said before, all these cubic holes, they are just equivalent to three-dimensional balls. So we already show this relation that it's this string cannot wrap around an M hole. So it can be shrinking to nothing. There's no short distance logical Z-string. And also, if you consider an X membrane wrapping around the M holes, it seems you could trap it topologically, but since this M excitation can condense it, you can somehow multiply in some stabilizer and deform this brain tube such that it's attached on that. Then use the fundamental relation we said before that any half dome of this M word sheet can just be shrinking to nothing. So this whole thing is still just a nothing, a vacuum or logical identity. So that means there's no short distance logical X brain enclosing any M hole. So that's a blessing. So then you might ask, are there any local logical X brains connecting different holes? Like previous case of E holes, you can have an E string connecting them. So for this, you could show it with this fundamental relation that you can recouple a cylinder into two domes. So I apply it twice on this cylinder, then basically you get into three pieces. So those pieces attached on the M hole, they can be shrinking to nothing. And then so you are left alone just with a single closed X brain in the bulk. And our fundamental relation just says that it's just equivalent to a vacuum. And it's, in a more general case, you can have some arbitrary X brain that attached on multiple holes. Still, you can recouple it. It just becomes a closed surface in the bulk. And we proved that before that it's just a logical identity. So the summary is that any local X brains, they are just logical identity, or in this case, they are just essentially stabilizers. So you can represent that any local X brain that when they project into code space, they are logical identity. So that's the proof. So in the paper, we also can prove it more concisely with algebra topology, but we don't have time to talk about that. So now we just summarize some of the code properties. So the Hausdorff dimension of the fractal cube of this 1/3 ratio is 2.966. You can derive it. It's just a log 23 over log 3. So if you increase the system size by a factor of 3, then volume increases by a factor of 26 instead of 27 because you dig out a hole in the middle in each iteration. So the qubit number scaling is just with this fractal dimension. And then your logical X distance is determined by the Hausdorff dimension of the Sierpinski copy. So it's log 8 over log 3, 1.893. That's your logical X distance. The logical Z distance, because the string has to avoid all these boundaries, so it's still L. So it's the minimum one is still L. And then the code distance is just a smaller one of logical X and logical Z distance. So it's invariant, it's still L. So it remains the same. So we could still construct a family of fractal codes by changing the ratio in each iteration. So for example, we can define the Sierpinski qubit 6-4, that the ratio of the length is 6 versus 4. And then you can do this iteration. And then similarly, you can define this fractal geometry, a fractal cube geometry in 3D similarly by changing the PQ of ratio. And again, the Hausdorff dimension is just a log P third minus Q third. This Q third is just the hole size. You dig it out. That's how you get the dimension. And in this case, it's just 2.8, much smaller than the previous case. And the X distance, again, is just defined by the Sierpinski qubit of this projection. So we can then construct a continuous family of code, for example, by choosing the ratio to be P and P minus 2. And then when you increase P, you can continuously decrease the Hausdorff dimension. So here is just a table to show the number. So at the asymptotically, it goes into 2, the Hausdorff dimension. And the distance, X distance will also go to L, asymptotically goes to L, similar to the surface code case. The Z distance is always L, as we said before. So the summary is that we can get a family of this so-called, we call it 3D fractal surface code, asymptotically approach Hausdorff dimension 2 plus epsilon. And then the qubit number scaling is just L to the 2 plus epsilon. And we also have the D is just L, so it scales D to the 2 plus epsilon. So in contrast, the usual 3D surface called scaling is the D cube. So you actually reduce the number of qubits to almost like the surface 2D surface code. So we could generalize this story into n dimension. So I want to be slightly faster in this generalization. So we can still have a TQFT description of the ZN gauge theory. Now we have a I-form gauge field coupled to an N minus I form. So the total dimension is N. And this describes a so-called I, M minus I, Z, N topological order. And just it's a label of different topological orders. So again, we can construct exact solvable model for Z2 or Z, N toric code of this I, M minus I type. So this, instead of drawing the picture, I will just define it abstractly. So you can define it with a chain complex, where the CI is the I cell. So you put the qubit on the I cell, and then the X stabilizer will be defined on the I minus one cell, and the Z stabilizer put I plus one cell. And then you can generalize the torical Hamiltonian into N dimension, just with these two types of stabilizer. A is X stabilizer, B is the Z stabilizer. So without going into details how it looked like, we can just summarize the essential property is that the logical Z operator is an I-dimensional brain, and it corresponds to I's homology of this cell complex. So the E excitation here is has dimension I minus one. And the logical X is M minus I-dimensional membrane, correspond to M minus I's homology on the dual lattice, actually. So the M excitation here also one dimension lower than its word sheet, M minus I minus one. So essentially, there are two types of theory we can consider. One is in the case that this I equals one. So in this case, it's similar to the 3D and 2D case. It's a theory with E particle excitation. So you always have particle excitation. And then its word line is a string logical operator. So in this case, the chain corresponding chain complex is always C2, C1, C0. So similar to the 3D example. So you always put qubit on the edge, one cell, and the X stabilizer is defined on the vertex, zero cell, and Z stabilizer defined on face, which is the two cell. But you also have more interesting scenario where I is larger than one. So this is a theory without particle excitation and any string logical operator. But by the way, for convenience, we can always require M minus I to be larger than I. So you don't have some equivalent definition just by permuting these two labels. So I is always smaller than M minus I. So in this case, you just have a self-correcting quantum memory and these models in high dimension. So there are two results. So when the model has string logical operator, then we will have a topological order if in a simple fractal embedded in n dimension, if this host again has m boundaries. And similarly, if it has e boundary, then the topological order doesn't exist. So the essence is exactly similar to the 3D case, that this hole cannot trap a logical Z string. So now the only difference is your hole become an n-dimensional ball with a boundary to be M minus one sphere. Then if you have a Z string around it, it can always be shrinking to the vacuum. And similarly, if you want to have a logical X membrane, which is essentially an M minus one sphere, around it, you can always just absorb it onto the boundary and then just shrink into nothing. So this hole cannot trap any logical operator. And that's sort of the essence why the topological order exists, similar to the 3D case. And the more interesting case is the model without a string logical operator, which are these self-correcting models. So in this case, we have this I, M, and I topology order. They actually exist when I is equal or larger than 2, independent of the boundary type. Whatever hole type you have, they always exist. So the essence is the holes cannot trap either the logical X or logical Z ring. So independent of the hole type. So for example, if I have M hole, then it tends to trap the Z membrane of opposite type. But the problem is that this Z membrane is i-dimensional. It's an i-dimensional sphere. And it's always smaller than M minus one dimension. Which is the boundary of this hole. The boundary hole is M minus one dimension. So since the dimension is smaller than this, it cannot simply wrap it around. So it can always find some shortcut to circumvent this hole and become an isolated closed membrane and then shrink into nothing. The same story is for the E hole. So the E hole wants to trap an opposite type of X spring, and now it's M minus I dimensional. But since we asked I to be equal or larger than 2, so it's at most M minus 2 dimensional, which is one dimension lower than the boundary of this hole. So again, you can always just avoid this hole by circumvent it, and then it shrinks into nothing. So these holes, whatever type, they cannot trap any logical memory. So a metaphor is that this is like the emperor's new clothes. The emperor is the n-dimensional hole, and it cannot, if you choose a close which is less than M minus one dimensional, then you can, the emperor will still be naked. So that's the essence. Okay, so we already talked about the topology order in all dimensions of these fractals, fractals embedded in all dimensions. So finally, we want to consider the application into quantum information processing that we want to apply non-Clifford gate. And it's just with this example of the 3D fractal codes embedded in 3D. So this is built upon on the existing work of the transversal logical CCC gate on 3 copies of 3D surface codes. So in the case without holes, you have 3D surface code, but you need 3 copies. And the Z string connecting the E boundary, they are oriented in 3 different directions, X and Y, X, Y, Z directions. So that's how you align this logical operator. And you align these 3 codes together, you apply a transversal CCC gate. So for the same spatial label J, you have a CCC gate between each copy of them. And that does a logical CCC gate. So we can understand this gate in the fractal case by using a more kind of abstract and deeper connection between the transversal gates and the topological symmetries, which was first realized by Professor Yoshida in these papers, and later was also continued by Bartley's group. And I also write some paper with some other sort of gate, which is related to mapping class group, but essentially they are also related to this topological symmetry. So we can have a following correspondence. If we consider a transversal gate U, which is a tensor product of U acting on each spatial label J, it could be between different copies. Or more generally, it could be a constant depth circuit. It doesn't have to be strictly transversal. It is a logical gate if and only if it keeps your code space or ground space invariant. So, and we consider a generic topological order composed of multiple copies of elementary topological order. So you usually can mathematically describe it by certain tensor categories. So in this form, C is a tensor category. The example we consider here, each C is just a toric code. So the corresponding parent Hamiltonians of this model, you can always write into 2 parts, the bulk parts and the boundary parts, which each of them is a sum of local terms, which In topological stabilized model, just the stabilizers living on the Bork and boundary. So we say this U is a topological symmetry if and only if, so if you conjugate your Bork part of the Hamiltonian, it is invariant up to some logical identities. That's why we put this projector. It just means once you're projecting the into the ground space, they exactly the same. So the difference has to be up to a logical identity. So similarly, that was or enforce this each stabilizer to be invariant up to logical identity. Furthermore, we say U is a global symmetry. Then there are some different classes. If it's a global symmetry, then it's a symmetry acting on the entire system. But it could also be a higher form symmetry or Q form symmetry if it acts on a co-dimensional Q submanifold, which has dimension n minus Q. N is a total dimension. But in addition, in order for this topological symmetry U to be a logical gate to satisfy the first condition, you have additional condition that so the boundary Hamiltonian also has to be invariant up to a logical identity. That means this symmetry has to also preserve the boundary. This I is just a label of different boundaries, so it has to preserve each boundary. So then there's also a connection to domain wall sweeping, and now we can use the second code, information is physical. So the action of the topological symmetry U is equivalent to sweep the corresponding domain wall. So if I act this transversal gate or this symmetry in certain region, then it will generate some domain wall on its boundary called omega. And if you apply this symmetry in this entire system, so it will essentially sweep this boundary, this domain wall across the whole system. So then if it's a logical gate, it has to preserve this boundary. That means that this domain wall has also need to condense on this boundary. So I mean, if you consider the domain wall as mapping, it has to preserve the boundary. It means it condense on this boundary. So that's a requirement that if this symmetry is also a logical gate. Then in our case, we can consider two types of domain walls. So we consider a stack of code, a stack code, which is a stack of three qubits of toric codes, which you can also call it a Z2 times Z2 times Z2 topological order. So there's one type of a symmetry is the one form symmetry. So correspond to some co-dimensional two domain wall. It's this pink line. So this is the so-called CZ domain wall. It has a, you can label it with this S2. So S2, two, you can think of it acts on two copies. And in this case, we act on copy one and the copy two. So this domain wall has a mapping on the excitation. So if you have an M string or M loop passing through the domain wall, you get the M strings itself, but the intersection part, which is a point, you can get this additional E particle in the other copy. So M1 becomes M1 times E2 and vice versa. So in the picture of logical operator, so that means that if you have you sweep this domain wall in a two-dimensional submanifold, and this submanifold is where your logical CZ gate is acting on, then it will map a logical X brain to a logical X brain, brain times a Z2 string. So if your X brain going across this domain wall, there's an additional Z string in the other copy get generated. So if you sweep this domain wall across the whole system, you just get a logical Z2 string. So there's another type. Now it's a global symmetry and a corresponding co-dimensional one domain wall. That's the CZZ domain wall. So it's labeled by S3. So it acts on three copies. So what this domain wall does, it doesn't change your E excitation, but it maps the M string into an M string and the CZ domain wall, S2, in the other two copies. So M1 becomes M1 times S2, 3. And then you have a cyclic permutation. So in the logical operator picture, it can transform your X, logical X operator to a logical X operator times a logical CZ operator. So basically, when you consider the logical CCD gate, it's equivalent to sweep this type of CCD domain wall across the system. So now in our case, we have a stack of three copies of fractal surface code, where all this whole boundary has this M boundary. Then you ask whether this CCD domain wall could condense on this boundary, because that's required to perform a logical gate. So actually, it turns out this CCD domain wall does not condense on this MMM type boundary, but it generates an exotic boundary. So because you could apply this mapping to the M excitation, as we showed before, so each M1 becomes M1 times S23. So this thing is a new domain wall, different from the original one. It just means it's a domain wall condense a composite of the M string and the CZ domain wall. So we can understand this condensation property through a picture of a composite boundaries. So this exotic boundary can be considered a composite boundary of this CCZ domain wall S3 plus attached on this original MMM boundary. So you get this new green boundary, which is our new boundary. So then you can understand that it's a condensation property, because if you pass the E excitation through this CCZ domain wall, then it can transport across it, but then it cannot condense on the M boundary. E excitation cannot condense the M boundary. And similarly, if you pass this M string across the CCZ domain wall, it becomes N string and CCZ domain wall, but the CCZ domain wall also cannot condense on this boundary. So it turns out neither M string or E particle can condense on this boundary. So it's kind of exotic. But you could have the composite of the M string and the CZ domain wall acting on the other two copies. If they go together across the CCZ domain wall, they become the M string. Then the M string could condense. Now it can condense on this boundary. So it turns out that this new boundary is just a condensation of this composite of M string and CZ domain wall. And in the logical operator picture, it means, so if you pass the X logical brain across the CCZ domain wall, if you have an X times ZZ, then it becomes X, which can terminate on the boundary. So it means this new type of a domain wall, only the logical X times the logical CZ operator can terminate on there. So that's the property of this new boundary. So that's actually beyond the usual Lagrange subgroup picture of gap boundaries, where only a condensation of the elementary E and M excitation are considered. So now finally, we want to apply the logical CCC protocol for our fractal codes. So there are basically two steps. So the first step is that we apply a transversal CCC gate. So as we said, it's equivalent to sweep the CCC domain wall across the system. So as we said, when we sweep this CCC domain wall across the system, the domain wall cannot condense on this boundary. So it actually changed this M boundary into the new type of exotic boundary, this MS boundary. So your host has new type of boundaries. So we say this process, it's not a transversal logical gate anymore, because that asks your domain wall to condense on the boundary and preserve the boundary. Now we say it's a transversal logical map. Basically, it does a logical CCC gate on your logical qubit, but it also map your code space into a new code space called H tilde. You basically get a new code. So the new code is only different on this whole boundary, where your X stabilizer, when conjugated by this transversal CZ, it becomes X times the CZ operator acting on the other two qubits. So that's where the Hamiltonian is modified. While in the bulk formula, you still get this part, but this part turns out to be an identity. That's how the CCZ in the bulk is symmetry. So this part in the bulk is always identity, but on the boundary, it's no longer identity, it just stay there. So the step two is now we have to map this code back to the original code space to complete this logical gate. So there are many ways to do that. And here we just show a simplest way, but it's definitely not the best way. So we apply a lattice surgery with three copies of additional ancillary fret codes along three different types of boundaries. So here's a example of you use a one ancillary code. So you have a ancillary code. So this is the code that you get this new code where your logical information is stored. Then you have the ancillary code, which is in the original code space, and that is the logical zero. And then you perform lattice surgery, lattice merging to merge these two codes. So that needs D rounds of signal measurements. So basically you stitch the logical Z operator together and also merge the logical X operator. You now only have a single pair of logical operator and store the logical information. But then you do a lattice splitting. So this can be done in single shot. Because of the property of the string excitation, basically. So once you split these two codes, you can measure out the original code in the Z basis. So that has a measurement result 0 or 1. Then condition on this measurement, you can apply a conditional Z correction on the other copy. So basically in this way, you transfer the logical information in the original code copy to the ancillary code copy, but you are back to the original code space. All this boundary is the M boundary, which is blue instead of the green. So the overall protocol is that you can have three ancillary copies aligning the three different directions, and then you just transfer the logical information to them, and then you finish your logical CCD gate. So it has a space overhead order D to the 2 plus epsilon asymptotically. But due to the lattice surgery, and time overhead order D. But there is another Clifford logical gate, which is the logical CZ. It turns out that one can be done instantaneously because this is a one-form symmetry. You can apply on any submanifold. So you can always choose a submanifold to avoid this whole boundary. So you don't have to fix them anymore. So you can just do it instantaneously. So this gate is all the one. So, okay, so here's a summary. So it's almost an hour. So first we found a no-go theorem for topological order on fractals embedding 2D. And then we proved that it exists in a three or higher dimension. So if the boundary the boundary condensed string or membrane excitation, which is the M boundary, but it does not exist if the boundary is a low particle condensation, the E boundary, then it doesn't exist. And then more interesting for the self-correcting models, which doesn't have any particle excitation, then the topological order can exist on larger fractals, which are independent of the boundary types anymore. So also we showed the existence of a non-cliff logical ZC gating 3D fractal surface code, which could also be generalized to any dimension, which we don't have time to talk about, but overall they reduce the space overhead to D to the 2 plus epsilon dimension in the 3D case, and then in any case it becomes M minus 1 plus epsilon. The time overhead is order D. So this sort of circumvents the space overhead implied by the Brovik coding bound. And interestingly, the global symmetry corresponds to a transversal logical map. So which generate a new type of gap boundary that can condense the combination of loop and domain wall. Of course, this kind of gap boundary was also discovered by Professor Yoshida in some previous study. Slightly different, but it's in general class. So and there needs to be some systematic classification and formulation, and possibly in the higher category theory in future, I think. So the geometry discovers the existence of macroscopic relative system in fractals embedded in three and higher dimension. And the work in progress is to make it really useful, we want to have a single shot non-clipful logical CCC protocol. So such that you have a space-time overhead order d to the 2 plus epsilon. And it's definitely possible, so we are working on this, and that will actually try to improve the fundamental limit of space-time overhead with local topological codes. So the current record is still decoupled by using gauge color code or 3D surface code. Okay, so that's the end of my talk. Thanks for your attention.
Great, thank you very much, Guanyu. Let's all thank Guanyu for a really interesting and multifaceted talk. So I can now open up to questions. So please unmute yourself to ask a question. Okay, so we have a question from the chat, so I'll just ask this quickly. Charlie Cummings says, could you ever have a mixed case of a fractal with both E and M holes? If so, do any of the nice M hole properties change?
So the answer, okay, it's a nice question. So the answer is in 3D and the high dimension. So if you have a model with a particle excitation or string logical operator, then as long as you have a E hole, or at least a finite percentage of your boundary is E boundary, right? I mean, certainly if you just have a single hole with E boundary, which is kind of negligible, but if you have a finite percentage of E hole, E boundary, then you won't have a topological order because you still can find those shortcuts. So most likely. But if you are with those self-correcting models, then it doesn't care about this boundary at all. Then, although I haven't explicitly proved it that in that case, but I expect that it doesn't care about this mixed boundary. It will still exist. So currently, my proof applied to the case in the self-correcting memory that your boundary only have one type, either E or M, but it doesn't care about that. But then if it's mixed, I think it should also be the same.
Hi, Guanyu. Nice talk.
Hi. Somehow I cannot, maybe I should stop sharing screen. I cannot.
This is Tim.
I remember your voice. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I had a question about your self-correcting code. I guess the simplest version being I equals 2, N equals 4, right?
So
is there any relation to Brell's construction where he takes like a product code of two classical codes on Sierpinski carpets? Is there any relation at all to that construction, or is it just fractals?
That's a very nice question. So yeah, so here he uses a specific construction, right? Just a homological product code, which
yeah,
use a lot in quantum LDPC. It's sort of mm-hmm. a kind of a, I think it's because of a technique preference that he constructs that way. I think it can still be put into the general framework in my case. So basically, my case is just you consider there's some sort of boundaries in the bulk and the hole with certain boundaries. And then you ask what's the, whether your systole or relative systole is still macroscopic. So it's essentially a geometric question, it's just a systolical geometry. So you can understand things with a geometrical algebraic topology. So his case is just a more sophisticated fractals, which all the theorem I had proved, except the no-go theorem, I consider those simple fractals where the host is kind of simply connected, right? Mm-hmm. So that makes the proof much easier. But certainly the theory is not limited to that. In other cases, it will also work, but then you have to do more work. But for the no-go theorem, it applies to any fractals.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer is this framework should finally also include those cases. Those are just special cases.
But can your construction, say for I equals 2, N equals 4, be like explicitly constructed using that homological product technique from two classical codes?
Generally cannot be generated by a homological product. Basically, like the 3D or 4D case, because most of the shape is not a product, right? Just not a homological product. So that's quite limited. I'm just saying, but the general framework can include those fractals constructed by a homological product.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. That's a connection.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you.
Maybe another follow-up question on this this model that Tim is asking about. If I'm understanding correctly, is the result that for the kind of 4D one with the where both the X and the Z excitations are 2D membranes, can you make a self-correcting memory but with the Hausdorff dimension is kind of going to 3+ epsilon?
Yeah.
So the self-correction survives putting all these M holes everywhere.
Right. In this specific construction with this simple fractal, you can go to 3+ epsilon.
Interesting.
But what we proved is the topological order exists. We haven't proved the self-correcting property is preserved. I think it will be preserved, but you need to prove that, right?
Yeah, that's what. Okay.
It's a little bit more work.
And I like a similar. A similar point, I suppose, in the 3D or also the 4D is like, does the single shot error correction survive? All these M holes in.
Yeah. So what we found is the single shot error correction will also survive. That's the most interesting part. That's why I finally talk about to have a protocol to the single shot logical CCC, and the requirement is that you have to have single shot error correction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess what goes wrong if you did a CCZ on three copies of just a regular toric code, and then you have some residual X error in the system, then you're going to get these CZ Clifford errors, but then you just measure the X stabilizers and you end up projecting to some kind of pattern of Z errors on the kind of boundary of the membranes of the CZs. And does this if you just measured all the X stabilizers, what happens? Does that work or does that break something once you've applied the CCZ everywhere and you've got these new boundaries? If I just measure the stabilizers of the 3D.
Maybe you ask, for example, you have the residual X error. Right. Mm-hmm. So in one code, then I apply this CCZ map, then it becomes the XCZ error, right?
Yeah.
That's the excitation. But I think generically, this kind of code doesn't care about, it doesn't really need you to have a Pauli error, right? Or depolarization channel. It can deal with any sort of local error. So what you do is you still, what this CZ error does is it's like creating you. In a superposition of different kind of error in the diagonal basis, right? Once you do the stabilizer measurement, you will project into a particular one. So and it's still like X and Z error. So basically, I think it's more, it's easier to understand that you just consider generically vertex and the placate error in this way, just some error violate vertex, some violate placate. And then it's always a complete basis.
Okay, so but you're saying that the lattice surgery is not actually necessary, and by doing some kind of, I don't know exactly, but if you...
Oh, the lattice surgery, yeah, it's just temporary measure. So one could simplify that. If you want to do this single shot logical CZ gate, you have to find some better way.
Yeah.
To basically how to come back to the original code space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we have any further questions? Okay. If not, let's all thank Guanyu again for a really nice talk. I'm going to stick around chat for a bit longer if people want to do that. So feel free.